Good afternoon, Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the staging area for Freedom and Liberty and the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley. I want to say thank you to everybody out there that has been praying for the show and praying for all of the things going on in the world today, especially the horrible incident that occurred down in California. It's really encouraging to see Americans come together and realize that freedom and liberty is worth fighting for, and all this political correctness garbage that's going on throughout the country just isn't good for America. And despite what the mainstream media tries to say, we are going to get the story behind the story, the news behind the news, and we're going to share it with our friends and family and our neighbors and our coworkers, and we are going to wake up and take our freedom back. And as I talked to a great church in Spokane last night, and I got to tell you, it was a great pastor there too, phenomenal pastor, and Covenant over there in West Central, phenomenal church. But the whole time we were talking about everything going on in the world, it came down to our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we have to keep focused there. But that doesn't mean we just end in prayer. We must move to action. And that means as Christians, we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world, to all nations. We make disciples of all nations, teaching people how to obey his commands. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and our neighbor as ourself. And we're prepared to protect and defend our neighbors and help our neighbors in a crisis. Well, very clearly, what happened yesterday in California is just the beginning. And it is going to take alert Americans all over this country to push back when the next attack happens. And I'm going to get to that here in a second. But we know what the right thing is to do. And as James 4:17 admonishes us, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. We know what the right thing to do as Christians. Are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? And are we going to trust God? Are we going to stand up? Are we going to put our jobs on the line? Are we going to put our careers on the line? Are we going to put our property on the line, our livelihoods, everything on the line, our lives even, to do those missions that the Lord has given us to do, and to stand up and say, you know what? What's happening in this country? What's happening in this country is predictable, and we can prevent it. And we have not been showing up as Christians, and that's why it's been happening. Are we going to show up? Are we going to call Islamic terror what it is? It is the fruit of Islam. Are we going to call it what it is? It's not workplace violence as they're trying to trump out there. This is the intentional invasion of America with the intent to destroy it and to destroy Christianity in America. Are we going to call it that? Are we going to be brave enough to stand on the street corners in our businesses, in our work, at school, and say this is intentional and it's not going to happen on our watch? Which brings us to the daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, once again, China's yuan, now part of the strategic drawing rights. Very little media attention to that, but a huge sea change, especially since China has been hoarding gold and keeping a lot of gold separately off its books in a separate account called the safe account. Interesting terminology, by the way, that it's an English acronym. They literally are keeping gold in off the books in this separate account. And if they start, and they are, backing their currency with gold, they are talking about this. If they do it, the U.S. currency is going to be devalued. Folks, this is the SDR, the Strategic Drawing Rights, is the closest thing we have to a one world currency, folks. And then if they take that and they make it electronic, where only you can buy and sell through electronic currency. And again, I was talking to a very high level person at a major bank who said that's exactly where we're headed. That's exactly what the industry knows is going to happen, that we're going to have this electronic currency. You can't buy or sell unless you're using this electronic currency. Folks, that's slavery. If you can't hold it in your hand and somebody else is controlling the medium by which you're exchanging for goods and services, that, folks, that's not freedom. So pay attention to this with the Chinese yuan. Also on the international front, Turkey and the attack on Russia. Now Russia, there are several articles out there right now that Putin is now ramping up the rhetoric in his military, telling them to train and plan for the worst of a potential confrontation with the United States and Syria. Interestingly enough, the Russians also released photographic evidence proving that ISIS was indeed taking oil to Turkey. Now, we've been talking about this on the show for, a year and a half, I think. Year. And it's very clear that that's exactly what's going on. Now, Turkey's a NATO ally. If Russia attacks Turkey and Turkey invokes Article 5 of the NATO treaty, boom, we're at war. We're obligated. But yet Turkey is the one that's creating this problem in the Middle East and creating the refugee situation, which really could be simply solved by all these folks going to Saudi Arabia, which is very close and has a lot of money and could house all these folks, has plenty of room. But instead, they're coming here to the United States in the predominant amount, 98.6% was the last figure that I saw, are Sunni Muslims. And then all of a sudden, we have what happened in California yesterday. And I want to go through some of the things that were a part of this that have not been reported in the mainstream media. The first and most interesting part of this is there's this big debate now whether they were wearing GoPro cameras or not. Now, the police chief is adamant they were not wearing GoPro cameras. And we're going to find out if that's true or not, because it'll be posted up on the internet if there were. But it is a typical standard operating procedure for terrorist groups like that now to carry some form of camera to film the acts so that they can use it to exploit the terror incident. So that's the first thing that's interesting. First they said there were GoPros, now they're saying they're not. Now maybe they're trying to get some information off and they don't want the folks that are responsible for this to watch it and then learn from it. But they should have managed information better on the front end of that if that was the case. Also very interestingly, these are very clearly, these three people, very clearly a cell that was operating in California. And as I understand it, they have actually raided what some are terming now an IED factory. That's an improvised explosive device factory. Now, we had those over in Iraq. When I was over in Iraq, we would look for those and raid them. And they were like the prize target to find the IED factory where they were making these bombs. But they literally had one in California. And that tells me that they're highly organized, that this cell was not just three people. It was much bigger than that. In fact, on Drudge Report, the top article, there's actually about a dozen top articles, but one of the top articles up there talks about the fact that there were many witnesses that saw half a dozen Middle Eastern men leaving the apartment. So what I can tell you from studying this for years and years is that this was a cell, and that wasn't the only cell, that there were more people involved here. This is a highly coordinated effort. But it is strange that they would sacrifice their bomb making factory and expose it. That doesn't that part doesn't make a lot of sense unless there were other cells that didn't act or are going to act in the next 72 hours. So that's not being talked about in the media at all. And interestingly enough, the fact that this was a soft target, as we talked about on this show over a month ago, the potential for soft target terrorist attacks had dramatically increased, and that there, you know, the warnings are not going out to other soft targets in America in any sort of organized fashion is a little shocking to me. And to add insult to injury, Obama is now pushing for Syrian refugees continually down in that area. And oh, by the way, they had links to international terror suspects as well. And instead, the administration's response is gun control. Folks, this stuff happened in a gun control city, happened in a gun control zone. Gun control zones are killing people. And I'm here to tell you that I think well-armed Americans is the answer to this threat wherever it ends up cropping up. Now, there's even reports of surveillance being done here in Spokane, Washington, by middle-aged Middle Eastern males, in one case younger Middle Eastern males, conducting surveillance of buildings, shopping malls. Now, if it can happen in Spokane, if it can happen in San Bernardino, it can happen anywhere in the United States. So that just, it's not to scare people. It's just, we need to be ready anytime, anywhere for this. Anytime, anywhere. Also on the national front and moving to a different topic, NSA has supposedly stopped bulk data collection as of December 1st, and yet, there are a lot of reports that they actually took it offshore and they're having other countries do this. So it's legal. Oh, you know, the spirit of the Constitution is being eviscerated. Also on the national front, global warming debunked again. Another group of scientists coming out and saying, hey, look, it's been cooling for 18 years. The evidence is overwhelming. Why won't you admit it? Well, that's because global warming and this whole hoax is not about the environment, it's about controlling people. So just keep that in mind. On the regional front, transgender Colville, as we call it. So they had a push to open up bathrooms in Colville to transgender individuals and pass a policy up there, even though they don't need to pass the policy. And even though it violates the privacy rights of all the other students up there. There's no law that requires, no statute requires anybody to pass one of these policies. Just not true. But it's also violating all of the privacy rights of all those other students too, and nobody talks about that. And we have a very good constitution here in Washington State, Article 1, Section 7, that has a pretty dramatic protection of privacy rights. So now they're going against the Constitution. So I don't care how you would try to justify it through some bureaucratic machination. They don't have to pass that up in Colville. And I'll tell you what, if that school board continues to push that, I hope the folks up there in Colville recruit people to run against them and toss them out on their ear because they deserve it. This is a non-issue and should never have come up. Also, on the local front, the power outage, I want to talk about that very briefly. A lot of people without power here in Spokane Valley and other parts in rural Washington didn't have a problem because they were prepared. How many natural disasters are we going to have in this state? And people still not be prepared. Now, one of the things that was interesting is a lot of people said, you know, we were prepared, but the problem is we couldn't put a wood stove in because of all the regulations. You know what? You're right. I'm going to be working on fixing that this next session. Wood Stove Protection Act. Because people have the right to heat their own homes in an emergency. And that includes with a wood stove. So, just a little bit perturbed that these regulations have made it so bad and so onerous on people for wood stoves, and yet when the power goes out, that's the source of heat, folks, unless you have a generator. And even then, your generator is dependent on fuel, whereas wood, especially in the windstorm that happened, is fairly abundant. So we're going to be working on that, but I think it just underscores once again, we had the wildfires, we had the also mudslides, we had the windstorm. We need to be prepared for all exigencies. And what would have happened if the power had been out for 90 days? Would we have been prepared then? Now, we were prepared for a week, but would we be prepared for 90 days? And I think that's what we need to start looking at. And that's the briefing. And before I end and introduce the guest, please pray for the folks down in California. And I said this last night at the church that I was at. We need to forgive the people that did this too. And that's real hard sometimes, but we need to forgive it. God loves them as well. So let's pray for the folks down there in California, and also pray about the people that did this, and forgive them. We need to forgive them. That's what the Lord calls us to do. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for Patriot Radio. Please go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family, and remember that this is a listener-supported show. You can donate through the campaign at VoteShea.com, and thank you to everybody that has been helping us stay on the air. Well, my guest today is a great friend of mine and one of the most hated men of the Southern Poverty Law Center in America, my good friend Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center. Tom, it is great to have you on the show once again. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Matt. It's good to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah. Let me get your take real quick. I know this is off topic, but let me get your take, you know, about what happened down in California. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, we've been warning about this. We've got a wide open border. We've got a wide open policy to bring anybody in here, not knowing who they are. We keep saying, you know, the evidence shows who these people are, and we're given all this, you know, newspeak and political correctness and so forth that, well, they're just refugees, and how can you turn your back on refugees? We're a nation of refugees. Fact of the matter is, we're not a nation of refugees, and, we've been warning about this. These are people who hate our guts, hate everything our nation stands for, and their intention is to fix that, to stop us. And, I was just talking to someone else a little while ago. Every single president practically we've had since Richard Nixon, there has been a special prosecutor to look into the misdoings of a president, some of it leading to impeachment, except this one. We get to a Barack Obama and nothing, not even discussed. So it's just an amazing time that we live in.
It really is. I mean, and you think about Hillary Clinton. If any of us had done that, we'd be in jail right now, you know? And,
yeah.
And she's just getting away with it like it's not a big deal. It's just,
yeah,
they just
ignore it, completely ignore it. Her supporters continue to support her. What is treason? Well, when you completely destroy the foundation of a country, our rule of law, our traditions, our culture, you destroy all of that, pretty hard to find treason, because what is it?
Yeah, exactly. How else could it be defined? Yeah. Oh, I look at the situation that's going on, and you've been warning for years and years and years about the sustainable development push and everything, and sometimes you kind of wonder, is anybody out there listening? But you know, there are a lot of people listening, and not just talking about what happened in California yesterday. There's a lot of people just finally saying enough with the political correctness, but they're also talking about it in regards to sustainable development as well. And that to me has been really encouraging. You don't have to explain what Agenda 21 is anymore, or Agenda 2030, I guess now, because they ran out of time. But Agenda 21, you don't have to explain that anymore. People know what it is, and that's largely due to your efforts.
Well, I'm very encouraged by it, and it's what keeps me going because, you know, there used to be just three or four of us around the country talking about this, and we were shouting to the bare wall, you know, blank walls, and nobody's listening to us. But once it got into the cities and people began to see these policies being put in place by their own city councils or county commissions, they began to ask, what's this about? Why? And when we were able to say, here's what it is, here's where it comes from, here's what its end game is, then people were beginning to understand that. And now we've got hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are actually in front of audiences talking about this, and we definitely have thousands of activists that are working on it, and it's fun in a way for me to see the reaction to the other side when our people stand up. They're actually terrified of our people. Their worst nightmare is that the American people begin to understand what they're doing and the jig is up, because it's all built on a house of cards, a house of lies, and all it takes is for people to begin to see the truth and overturn it, and they know that. And so we're seeing they react the way they do with such vengeance against us because they are terrified that people begin to listen to us, and it has started to happen.
Yeah, the people will reclaim their rightful place and reclaim their power and kick them all out. That's what they're going to lose their position. That's exactly what they're afraid of. And now there's this new twist on Agenda 21. And you know, when we first talked about Agenda 21, Tom, so many years ago, I didn't even grasp at that point that it was just this all-encompassing thing and that they were using the same technique that they use with property rights, but they were using it for everything. It wasn't just property rights. It was just every right, every freedom you could think about, and that's what they were using the same technique. And I love your moniker, thinking globally, acting locally to destroy freedom. That's what these guys are doing. And yeah, so as yeah. part...
It took me a long time, too, Matt. You know, when Henry Lamb first discovered all this and began to teach a bunch of us about it, clear back in 1992, '93, I took a long time for me to totally grasp it as well. But once you do, then you can look around and you see it immediately in almost everything that they present.
It is incredible. And now, kind of bringing it back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show with what happened in California yesterday, there's this serious threat to America, and in a very organized fashion, we are being invaded. And a lot of people are missing the point that we have to be very careful. While this is a clear threat, we have to be very careful that we don't trade liberty for security. And they're using these, the administration most publicly is using this situation to, you know, once again go after guns, once again go after body armor and all this stuff. But there's something even more insidious that's out there that you really have been focusing on, and that's the Strong Cities Network and this idea that they're going to use these types of terrorist attacks and this invasion that's occurring to really start taking away our liberties. If you could, for the listeners that have never heard about the Strong Cities Network, if you could explain what it is, what it means, and how it's all tied together.
Yeah, it's they never stop. They always come up with some new way to go after it. And this Strong Cities Network, what I am expecting to have happen, now that you saw what happened in California and in Paris and, you know, the threats of it around the country, I can see the Obama administration, the Justice Department, beginning to say, well, we need to protect our people. And we're uniting cities around the world to be ready for this, a strong cities network that we all just lock arms together and work together. We learn from each other as we do this. And, you know, this is the argument that they're putting out. And, you know, the average person listening to that will think, well, yeah, they're finally going to do something to go after these extremists, because they say they're going after extremists, but we think it means radical Muslims and, you know, the ones who are actually shooting people and killing people in our streets. But that's not what this is about. And, you know, Loretta Lynch, Attorney General, back in September, went before the United Nations to announce our adoption of this concept of Strong Cities Network. And if you begin to look into it, you find out who's behind this. All of these programs coming out of the United Nations are really run by non-governmental organizations, NGOs. They are private organizations with private agendas, and they get their programs out front. Sometimes it's through treaties or soft law policies like Agenda 21 or whatever, but they get it out there. They get governments beginning to implement these ideas. In this particular case, the Strong Cities Network is the brainchild of an organization, an NGO called the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, the ISD. If you begin to look at who they are and what they really believe in, yeah, they're talking about going after extremists, extremism, far-right extremism, far-right. That means conservatives. Matt, that means you and me. It's not Muslims. It's not terrorists who are armed and going into schools and shooting people. It is conservatives. And that's what this is all about.
You know, we talked about the Southern Poverty Law Center a while back. This makes the Southern Poverty Law Center look like a little chihuahua compared to a gigantic bull mastiff. You know, this is a big deal. This literally is creating a network to stamp out conservatism. I mean, that's but under the auspices of this radicalism is dangerous to the world, not just America, but to the world. So the ISD, and I love the way they do these names. It's so funny. Institute for Strategic Dialogue. It sounds innocuous, right?
Yeah.
But they're going forward with this thing, and I want to highlight that they don't just give, you know, lip service to this stuff. They actually have a strategy they want to implement to put meat on the bones here. This isn't just like the MIAC report where conservatives are smeared or something like that. This is actually a systematic plan to go after conservatives. And if you could, lay that out for the listeners.
Well, again, this is the next step. The Southern Poverty Law Center, what I've been calling for years, is an investigation, a congressional investigation into the SPLC's connections to the Department of Homeland Security, because they not only help them write these reports that focus on what a domestic terrorist is in their mind, but they actually have programs where they teach local police forces how to watch for a domestic terrorist. And who do you think? They're probably putting yours or my picture up on the board saying, this is what one looks like. And, you know, they call us Islamophobes and political opportunists and all this kind of stuff, religious right, anti-gay groups, patriot groups. This is what they focus on. And what happened here is you take all that together and you bring it now through the Department of Justice, which become, you know, that's the top cop in America. And then you have them tying in with the United Nations. So now we have other countries, other cities around the world all becoming part of this, looking for what? People who advocate our Constitution, people who advocate limited government, people who are opposed to radical Islam, people who are opposed to these so-called refugees coming into this country. All these kind of things are alarm bells to them that these are bad people we have to deal with. And what I find absolutely amazing is this Institute for Strategic Dialogue on their website, as they're describing radical right, they say in here, now get this, through parliamentary manifestations of the radical right are nonviolent and operate within the rules of democracy. But there remains a confusion over the dangers of the growing presence of the far-right extremism and the increasing legitimization of anti-immigration and anti-Islamic disclosures. What they're saying here is they're nonviolent and they're operating within the rules of the country, but darn it, they are anti-Islam and they're anti-immigration, and they're in our way, so we need to get rid of these guys, and we need to label them as dangerous domestic terrorists, and we need to have, and what a lot of people have taken from this, and I think rightly so, is the possibility of blue-helmeted UN police forces coming into the United States, filtering out through our cities, doing investigations and writing arresting people that they deem to be a right-wing extremist. Now, I don't think they'll do that right away because they're too smart for that. That would be an exact alarm bell to go off that Americans would rise up to. But the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Justice Department, other entities have been working to militarize our police forces as it is, and we're seeing lots and lots of cases across the country where police forces are no longer serve and protect as they were set out to be a part of the community, but they are now a military force, and you know that takes them farther away from us, and the danger of our own police forces moving in to arrest American citizens because they voted for Ron Paul or because they're against abortion or because they want taxes lowered or they don't like Obamacare. What I fear here is that you're going to see the day, and I think we're already seeing it, where people like you and me will have a difficult time traveling to get to speeches to give. People will become intimidated by the possibility of being arrested and attending one of our conferences or one of our speeches, and you know that them actually coming in and shutting them down based on hate speech and dangerous expressions of things. We've already seen these kind of things come out over and over again, and I think that is where this is designed to lead to, and if we don't stop it, that's exactly where it's going to go.
So how do you think that this is going to actually work? How do you think that the Strong Cities Network is actually going to be implemented physically? I mean, what is it going to look like? I mean, are they going to set up little offices in each city and share intelligence? I mean, what is this going to look like, you think?
Well, the fact of the matter is, Matt, they already have all that in place. You know, you have these different organizations already set up in every state. The you know, what am I trying to say? It escapes me at the moment, the name of the Missouri Fusion Centers is what I'm trying
Fusion
to say.
Fusion Center, yeah.
They already have those in place. They already have the Department of Homeland Security. You already have police being trained to look out for people with rhetoric like ours. And so those things are already in place. And, you know, if Obama gives out an executive order and says, you need to go in and arrest these people, that's what they're going to do. And so it's already in place. It's a matter of how they use it. And the fact that you've got the Southern Poverty Law Center with contracts with the Department of Homeland Security to put these reports together that they've done, right-wing extremism, the lexicon on the right, domestic extremism, all these kind of things are already done. And what do you see happening today when one of these, an attack takes place? The whole thing the other day on the Planned Parenthood supposed shooting, immediately the media gets in there and starts talking about how this is a right-wing extremist that did this. And what do? They refer back to one of these reports from Homeland Security. And, they won't ever say the word Islamic extremist. They will say, workforce violence or whatever. So they soft shoe it for that side. But for the other side, when it's not even a connection, the attempted assassination of the congresswoman in Arizona a few years back immediately said, "Oh, he had right wing connections." Boom, 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 boom. They've already villainized us. And we are on such a tight, thin thread of, between absolutely taking us down or being able to operate as we do. It's just a matter of time. And this Strong Cities Network gives them the authority to, in their minds, to move forward and move on it worldwide.
So I always ask this question because you got to follow the money, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Who's funding all this, and who's going to pay for it?
Yeah, I was just going to say too. There's going to be grant money that's coming out from this, it can come in various ways. We've already talked about the sustainable development and all that. We've got smart growth in cities. This is a great extension of smart growth. the Strong Cities Network, because a whole lot of it fits right into that. You've got a situation where they control transportation, they control where you live. You've got efforts for using biometrics to watch us, control the money, as you mentioned earlier, the NSA. All those things are in place to visualize where we are, and be able to tell all of our movements. If you take away our ability to have the independence of driving our own car, which is being done in smart growth cities, then you can't move without getting on public transportation. And so they can control that. Do you have your papers? You know, this sort of thing. And so you're going to see grants coming through HUD, through EPA, through Department of Transportation, and various other agencies that would be funding police forces and things like that. So it's going to come through all those little pinpricks here, there, and everywhere is how they'll do it. It won't be one big thing. It'll be a little bit here, a little bit there. They've already been doing it.
And that's the way they do it, incrementally, one little cut at a time. Well, this is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio with my good friend Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center, talking about the Strong Cities Network and this the latest, I don't even know what you want to call it, permutation of total control over all of our lives, every aspect of our lives, that really was started with Agenda 21 and this idea of sustainable development. Well, there was kind of an interesting twist this week with Maurice Strong, kind of stunning to everybody, the guy behind all of this. If you want to tell the listeners a little bit about what happened with Mr. Strong here this last week, and do you think that's going to have any impact on any of this stuff with Agenda 21 or with the Strong Cities Network moving forward?
Well, it's they're praising him. He died is what happened. Maurice Strong was the main source to Agenda 21, sustainable development, global governance, all of this. All roads led to him. And if you were inside the UN, every hallway you went down, every office you went through, every bureaucracy you dealt with, somehow in the end led to Maurice Strong. He's the mastermind behind all these things. And what I've seen popping up are all kinds of articles and so forth that are calling him such a wonderful person, a visionary, that he's the one who led us and saw what we needed to do. And so, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some statues and probably some temples put up in his on his behalf, and we'll worship at the feet of Maurice Strong. And they'll use that to try to promote it all and keep moving forward, but it's already in place. These things are already there, it's already funded, it's already enforced, and it's not going to his death isn't going to hurt their cause. It can only help it.
And he'll be a sustainable development martyr, if there is even such a thing.
Yeah.
The other part of this that I want to talk about is what can we do to fight it? Because I run into this all the time where people say, "Hey, man, it's the government. There's nothing we can do to fight it." And there are certain realities that constrain us. If we take money from the government, for example, through grants, the strings are attached to it. And that honestly, attendant to every single government benefit, whether you're talking VA benefits, whether you're talking, Social Security benefits or grants at the local level, they always have strings attached when you're taking money from the government. And that's not a commentary on whether veterans should deserve being compensated. They should. There's a promise made to our veterans, but the government views it as another way to put a string on something and put control over you. How do we fight this stuff? Because it's everywhere, and I know you've been doing a great job educating people across the country, but if you can, give the listeners some very specific things that you think they could do to help fight this.
Well, Matt, what I've said over the past several years in trying to fight back were two things. One, get people elected in your local city councils and county commissions and even in your state legislatures that understand this stuff and make sure that they are people who do not take the grants. The grant money is what feeds this whole process, and when you take it, as you said, with strings attached, then you have to enforce this, even if that wasn't your intention in the first place. But there's another twist that has come up here, and this is where it's frightening, because Obama ain't stupid, and there's another program that he is now pushing go along with the Strong Cities network, and that is, out of HUD, the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Rule, the AFFH. And I've been doing research on this, and what I'm seeing is that in this process, this is HUD completely controlling every single thing that happens in your community. And if you have taken HUD grants, then you're automatically enrolled in this. And what this will do is absolutely destroy private property rights, destroy your property values, destroy whole neighborhoods, and more than importantly, it will absolutely destroy, erase the concept of local rule by your locally elected representatives. Because once your community is taking these grants, then there's no recourse. They've done it, and now these guys will move in. And one of the things that the AFSH does is that they go in and analyze every single neighborhood based on income and minority numbers. They're looking at levels of race, color, religion, national origin, income levels, all that. And they're looking at your neighborhood, and they're saying, oh, you don't have enough of this, you don't have enough of that, you don't have enough of this, we're going to move those in. And once this is in place, the ability, even if we elect people now who are against taking the grants, who are against these programs, with this in place, then HUD will control there, and you don't have anything. It doesn't matter who you elect; has to be done. There is an effort right now, and it's right now in Congress within the next couple of weeks that this is going to be decided. There is an appropriations bill. The interesting acronym for it is THUD. It's Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development. It's an appropriations bill for that. And two members of Congress have put in legislation to stop this. And Mike Lee out of Utah and another congressman, trying to find his name here now, they have put in bills that would neutralize this, that would get rid of it. This is basically our only hope. If we can't stop it there, then we may not be. Paul Gosar from Arizona put it in the House. It passed the House of Representatives, 229-193, his bill to stop this. And in the Senate, we've got Jeff Sessions and Marco Rubio, among others, who have supported this bill. If we can get it passed in the Senate, already passed in the House, then we could get that language into this transportation and housing and urban development bill, appropriations bill, and we can defund the AFFH program and begin to keep control in our local cities. So I know it's a long answer and everything. You want to have something really sexy to say, and here's what we do, but what I'm beginning to realize is they have surrounded us. They've encircled us, and we're in the middle of the Alamo, and we're there's 180 of us, and there's 3,000 coming after us. It's very discouraging to see that they have managed to put these things in place to where our ability to fight, even by at the polls, even by people rising up in the community to say no, is very, very limited at this point. And whether we can stop it or not, if this thing goes into place, this AFFH thing, and then tack onto that the Strong Cities Network, I'm the messenger of doom and gloom. I don't know how we stop them if they put these in place.
Well, we've talked about before doing it. They did this city by city with ICLEI. They did this city by city, county by county. They did it all at the local level, not just in America. They did it at the local level around the world. And we really can do it at the local level as well. I mean, we have the capital of free Washington here in Spokane Valley, and we have a great city council that is willing to push back on all of these things. And I think that we just need to do it city by city at the local level. And I know you've had a lot of success doing it that way, too.
Yeah.
And
strategy to do it.
But, well, if you can, explain some of the successes that you've seen out there and some of the things that are actually happening at the local level that people, can be encouraged about.
Yeah, and I don't want to be the messenger of doom and gloom. We'll find a way around this, but I'm just looking at what these policies are saying right now that, you know, if you've already taken the HUD grant, and most communities have, then you're already in the web. And now you can have your local sheriff come out and say you're not, you know, HUD, you're not going to send any troops in here to do anything to us. Get out of here. But we've had successes. First of all, when we first started fighting this, ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, an NGO that helped write Agenda 21 and then made it its mission to implement these policies in every community in the world, they had over 600 American dues-paying cities that were doing that. And in about a five-year period or less, we went after ICLEI. We began to expose who they were, what their policies were, and so forth. We have now succeeded in getting at least 150 cities to back out of that, quit paying them dues, to the point that the head of ICLEI USA told an associate of mine, they're terrified of us. They don't know how to stop us. So that's a huge victory that way. We have gotten people elected to county commissions and city councils. I get phone calls every week from newly elected people, new people on the board saying, okay, what do I do? I want to stop this. And I'll give them some ideas. They'll call me back and say, okay, I did that. Now what do I do? That's a huge victory in our way in getting that done. We have had several states put in legislation that calls for an end to this. The problem with that, we're learning new ways to do it. It hasn't been real effective with those state things. What you're doing in the state of Washington is my model. What you're doing is exactly right. 1,000 pinpricks coming at them in every direction, not just a one-size-fits-all. One-size-fits-all, they blow it to shreds. But, you know, coming at them in all these different directions, it is effective. And what you're doing is my model. So these kind of things are beginning to happen. And one of the big things that just happened a few months ago, I was invited to address the Maine legislature, state of Maine, on these issues. And that's never happened before. And I'm looking now to get other states to let me come in and do that so that we can put attention on it. And I didn't pull any punches, and we had all kinds of libs on Democrats on the committee, and they looked at me like I had two heads. But we got that message out, and we need to do it in more and more legislatures.
We absolutely do. And if you could, for the listeners, if you could put out your website, how people can follow you as well and get more information, not only on Strong Cities Network, but, and I'm posting this up on Patriot Radio's Facebook page right now, your article on this, so people can access it, and also my personal Facebook page, but not just the Strong Cities Network, but also everything to do with sustainable development.
Yeah, our website is AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org, or the American Policy Center, and we have on there, we've got over a 15-year archive of articles we've written on all kinds of these issues, giving all the details. We've worked very hard over the last few years to really create tools that people can use. We've got a manual on there that goes step by step on all these issues, gives background to it, tells you what you can do. And we put that Stop Agenda 21 action kit together, which has, you know, two video sets in it, or DVD sets in it. It's got four manuals. It's the atom bomb for this thing. I had a lady in Ohio turn that into a course on Agenda 21, and she goes around teaching it now. So that's the kind of way people have picked up on some of the things we've put together. And you can learn it pretty quickly and begin to get that information into the hands of your elected officials. So many of them don't know what this is because the other side never uses the term Agenda 21. They tell you everything they're doing is local and that nothing, you know, they call us conspiracy theorists because we say this comes from international sources. But once you begin to show them the background, the history, and the language that matches the very language that's put in front of them for their local policies, for comprehensive plans, for smart growth, all that, a lot of them are beginning to understand and see it now, and they're seeing the results of it, and they're willing to stand up and fight it.
And I want to kind of dovetail on that. We have a lot of young people out there that listen to the show. They know things are terribly wrong in this country. They want to get involved, and they just don't know how. How can they get involved? What can they do? I'm only a young person. What do I know? You know, people aren't going to take me seriously. All of those kind of things they probably heard. But actually, young people brings energy to the movement. So how do you think that they can get involved?
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because everywhere I go, I've had people in my audiences say, look around us. Everybody here has gray hair. Everybody is older. There are no young people here. I want to tell you right now, any young people who take on these causes and stand up, they are welcomed with open arms to the people who are fighting these things. They don't look upon them as, oh, you're just a kid, what do you know? They are thrilled to have their voice in there, and it's happened in some places. And, you know, all you need to do is, you know, go into the website and look, read over some of the policies, read over some of the stuff we've got there, so you can understand what we're talking about here, and then you can begin to take that and, you know, use it. You can use it. I had somebody write to me the other day. She was doing a paper for her college class, and you know, everywhere she went, she found sustainable development. And you know, she wanted to know what does that mean? What's the consequences here? I gave her information. She did the paper, and probably didn't pass because you know the professor didn't like it. But you know, they do that, and if we get more and more doing that, then we can begin to turn this around pretty quickly.
I love that. I love it. We can turn this around pretty quickly. It's America, for goodness sakes. We just need to let freedom ring. We need to let unshackle the American spirit and let Americans solve the problems and get government out of the way. That's what I love about America. It wouldn't take that long to turn around either. I've talked to people about that quite a bit before. Well, any closing thoughts you have for the listeners out there? You know, there are so many things to read, but yet at American Policy Center, you've taken this stuff and you boiled it down to pretty simple language that people can read really fast when they don't have a lot of time. And I really appreciate that about what you've done. But any final thoughts on that, or maybe what people should be reading, or any of the materials you think they should go to first?
Yeah. If you wanted just a real quick explanation, we've got a 35-page booklet on there called Special Report Agenda 21 and How to Stop It. And this is becoming one of the most popular things that we've put together. You can actually download it for free off the website. But I don't want to be the messenger of doom and gloom, because I've refused to be that all the way through this fight. And other people have. They look down at their feet in defeat, I'm not going to do that. But we'll find other ways around some of these other programs. But you're absolutely right. Fighting on the local level is the place to fight. Congress is a hopeless mess, and we can fight from the ground up, and we can influence Congress that way rather than the other way around, and that's what we need to do. And as you said, this is how they implemented a lot of these programs, and we can undo them at that local level. We need to get people elected who understand these issues. We need to crowd into city councils and question and challenge the programs that they're putting together, these comprehensive development plans, things that affect your private property. One of the things I've said, focus on protecting private property, and you can stop these programs. And it's time to treat property owners like owners. And if we start doing that and take that attitude, we can turn this around and we can win it.
I agree. We can win it 100%. Tom, thank you very much for joining me. If you could, plug your website and how people can get involved with the American Policy Center as well.
Yeah. The American Policy Center, AmericanPolicy.org is the website. We also have available my monthly newsletter, the Deweese Report. It's now available only online, and it's only $10 a year for 12 issues. I mean, I've had people say, that's not enough. Can I donate? Yes. But, you know, this is where we started writing all these articles. This is what influenced Congress on a lot of these programs. My newsletter is the Deweese Report, so it's Deweese. And so DeweeseReport.com or AmericanPolicy.org, either one, get our stuff and begin to learn.
Amen. Tom Deweese, American Policy Center, thank you again for being on Patriot Radio. We'll have you on again, my friend. Keep up the great work. You're doing a tremendous job, and you literally are changing the course of American history and emboldening people to stand. And I don't even think understand how your efforts have done that. But you really have affected a lot of lives across this country. So keep it up, my friend.
I'll do it. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Tom Deweese, America Policy Center. I posted it up on Patriot Radio's Facebook page. I'm also going to put up there the Deweese Report as well. If you don't get that, it's one of the things you should be reading. I know a lot of people are saying, oh my goodness, I have so much to read already. There are a few key publications that you should get. And all the rest of it's kind of gravy. But the New American magazine, I read that thing cover to cover, and it is phenomenal in that it predicts what's going to happen, what the next big issues are going to be. And publications like the Deweese Report give you the inside information of what's really happening. You know, when you hear these weird names like Strong Cities Network, oh, hey, that sounds great. I want strong cities, right? Everybody wants strong cities. Why would you be against that? And it explains exactly what actually is going on. And behind the scenes, that news behind the news. And I don't want to say, you know, conspiracy, but there are. I mean, these people are acting intentionally to deprive us of freedom and liberty because America is the last great obstacle to their goals of one world government, their goals of one world currency. And everybody's admitting, now it's admitted. You know, years ago, it was this conspiracy theory. If you ever thought that, if you ever said it out loud in public, you were a weirdo, fanatic. And now people are just admitting it. Yeah, there's going to be one world currency. It's going to be electronic currency. It's going to be out there. There's articles on it all over in liberal elitist publications. And we have this huge push by the United Nations to consolidate governments, despite the horrible failure the European Union has been. So this stuff's real, folks, and we need to get involved. And one of the ways you can do that, check out the Deweese Report. I think that you will like it, and it will inform you of what really is going on behind the scenes and give you the facts to arm your neighbors as well with knowledge. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me once again on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you, and I really truly hope that he makes this generation and everybody listening to this radio show the greatest one.